everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you, Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world. And that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to Vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in? This is The Run-Through. I'm Chloe Mao.
And I'm Cho Minardi. And this week on the show, Chloe got to speak with American Vogue's winter cover star, Sienna Miller, a woman who I think is absolutely fabulous. So I'm deeply jealous. You got to interview her in the Vogue closet. That must have been fun.
I absolutely did. I have to say, a resplendently pregnant woman surrounded by shelves of stilettos is just a dream scenario.
Yeah, I mean, her Schiaparelli look at the Vogue World event this year was definitely one of my favorites of the year. I think we discussed this.
We all loved it.
Yeah.
But first, Choma, have you started your holiday shopping?
Oh, I'm not a big holiday shopping person. I think my family and I agree. We just do Secret Santa. So I've already bought my one gift and then the kids get stuff.
Okay. What's your one gift?
It's my teenage nephew. So I had to ask my brother because I was just like, what do teenage boys like?
Yeah. What do they like? The people want to know.
I think they like Palace and like skate brands and like Supreme and, you know, and Stussy. I remember going with him to the Stussy store and so there's some, you know, there's some crossover. I like the same things too. I actually have a pair of these Palace Uggs, but I'm not giving them to him. I'm keeping those and we have the same shoe size. So sorry, he's getting something else.
What's your dream gift? What are you hoping to receive under the tree from Santa?
I'm always treating myself.
That's good. Good answer. What's the last treat?
Yeah. What's the last time I treated myself?
Yeah.
I got this very discounted Bottega top on Yuke's.
Oh, good. Excellent.
How about you?
What am I gifting? I'm very into tiny things right now. A friend recently sent me as a thank you for something, a tiny shipping box with a little picnic inside of like dollhouse food things. And it was extremely cute. And also, you know, not to be too earnest, but it's a tricky time right now. So I'm very happy to be donating to, for example, for me, I'm a big supporter of the International Rescue Committee.
I endorse that. And I love it when I get a gift of someone else donating in my name. I think that's really chic.
Yeah. And I don't know. I love holiday shopping.
You're good at gifting.
I love gifting.
Actually, I have to tell everyone, I ask Chloe every time I want to gift someone anything. And every time I've gotten her advice about gifts, they've been a wild success.
Golden Globe nominations came out this week. Very exciting.
They did.
I feel like people are so amped about the Globes this year because we've had such a famine of red carpet and award shows.
I think people were sort of like, we're so ready to be like the Globes are over. And now I think the Globes have benefited from the strike. They're the first really big one back, aren't they?
Totally. I mean, they're early too. They're the January 7th. They're the Sunday after the holidays.
And they're sort of typically more raucous and a little bit more off the cuff. And I feel like they're going to be so, because no one's going to have had to drop to drink publicly for so long. This is going to be quite the funny kind of, I can just imagine it's going to be completely a wild show.
Barbenheimer not only led the box office, but led the nominations. So they are scooping things up. And also, you know, other more independent films like American Fiction and Poor Things got nods. Succession had a big moment.
And got a nod, didn't it, for Rosamund Pike? Did she get a nod?
Yeah, she did. And she was so good in that.
Yeah, she was amazing.
And tomorrow, The Crown, second half of this season, is airing, which I am extremely excited about. Kate and Will, the early years, which everyone's all aflutter about.
Yep, yep.
And
there was the debacle about the, I don't know whether it's me just in my Daily Mail feed, but the portrait, the royal portrait, and the finger missing of the...
Yes, biggest story of the weekend was Haley on Choma's team wrote about the royal Christmas card, and the people love it, loved it. Traffic soared. And then there was a very funny follow-up take, which eagle-eyed observers noticed that there was a bit of a Photoshop fail. I believe Prince Louis was missing a finger. Is that correct,
yes,
Choma?
Yes, I had to go back and look at the portrait, and it's true. He is missing a finger.
So funny. Were the British tabloids having a field day?
Oh, of course. It's just like catnip.
Ugh, love. The run-through will be back in a moment.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
And we're back. Chloe, so you got to speak to Sienna Miller?
I did. We met on a quiet Sunday in the Vogue closet. It was right after her fitting for her cover shoot. Just after the interview, she drove straight to the Hamptons to shoot the cover shoot with Annie Leibovitz. And it was such a treat. We were cozy on that pink velvet couch. We talked in the Vogue closet. We were surrounded by soaring shelves of Manolos behind us and racks of all the pregnancy-friendly clothing she was going to be wearing on the shoot.
Isn't she the best interview? I mean, I've interviewed her for like 5 minutes for the Cara story, and I sort of fell in love with her instantly. And it was just like
the Cara Delevingne cover you did.
Yeah, the Cara Delevingne cover I did for American Vogue in April. And I just found her so impressive. And instantly we kind of like, she's just got the thing, right?
She has it. She makes it so easy and such a pleasure. And she was so open. I really love chatting with her. As soon as we sat down, she told me she had just started to feel really pregnant. And then, of course, she's peeing a lot in the night. And we talked about everything from that to her 11-year-old daughter, Marlo, and how Marlo is adjusting to the fact that she's about to be a big sister.
Aww.
And I feel like many of us look to her and Tom Sturridge as these ideal co-parents. And Tom Sturridge is obviously with Alexa Chung. So we talked about how Marlo has access to two of the best wardrobes in London. And it just sounds like she's really excited about this next chapter and the family she's building with her partner, Ollie Green.
Did she disclose whether it's a boy or a girl or the gender?
It was a big reveal. You have to listen to the interview, Choma.
Stop.
Yes.
Oh, I'm dying.
Daily Mail, listen up.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a good one.
Get ready.
Hi, Sienna. Happy Sunday.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We are in the Vogue closet. What is it like fitting for Vogue cover when you're quite a few months pregnant?
It's fun doing a fitting, although in the last 2 weeks I've woken up and I'm like pregnant in my head.
How is this pregnancy different from 10 years ago with Marla?
It's honestly been so much easier.
Really?
It's crazy because I'm not nearly as young as I was, but I have sailed through this pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know whether you're just so perpetually tired being a parent already that you can just manage better with a second baby, but I felt great.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. This pregnancy became publicly known when you were on a private vacation in Ibiza this summer. What is it like having
people take photos of you in a bikini pregnant? It's, you know what? It's great. I love it. It was so funny. I'd got through the entire summer and I'd had a very decadent summer of traveling around and being on lots of beaches and I got away with it. That was the last swim on the last day of holiday.
You almost did it.
Thank Christ it was like 5 p.m. and not glaring sunlight. Like the light was like, but I was like, I've got away with it all summer. And then, yeah.
Is Marlo excited?
To have a sister?
Yeah.
A baby sister?
Oh, it's a little girl?
Gender reveal by accident.
I was going to ask, but there you go.
I'm having a baby girl. Is Marlo excited? She is now excited.
I mean, it's so
she's like, this was great. Why would we change this? I've said, you know, can I put the baby in your bed in the morning? We're having it. It's like we've got a dolly coming.
Oh. Do you have different expectations of motherhood this time around?
I have expectations, whereas I had none before.
Oh, interesting.
I feel much more prepared psychologically than I was before with Marlo. I think I was so kind of present and in the moment. I was like, yeah, baby, woo.
Where were you when she was born? Was that New York?
I was in London.
Okay.
And the reality was quite a shock having a baby. I was 29 when I got pregnant and I had her at 30. And I just hadn't given it the thought that I guess you can't prepare for it. But it was quite a jarring transition.
And are you in the same house in London that Marlo was born in?
No.
Okay.
No, we're in a rental because I just moved back from New York to London.
And how is everyone feeling about the move?
I am very happy with the move.
Okay.
I'm loving being around my friends and my family and I've got a cottage in England so we can have like weekends in a bucolic rural setting. And then I come back to New York and I love it so much. But I think it's lovely to have a home in two places or to feel at home in two.
What's a typical weekend at the cottage like?
It is very cozy. And it's lighting fires and cooking and watching movies and going for walks and nothing too exciting.
Does Marlo love going out there or is she at the age where it's, she wants to be in the city? And
she still loves, I mean, she loves being in the city, but she loves, I think she loves the pace change and she loves the coziness.
How do you hope her experience as a girl and eventually a woman will be different from yours?
How long have you got? She can self-advocate and she has the word no in her repertoire. And I think in the 90s, when I was a kid growing up, you know, God forbid you offend a man's ego by disagreeing or.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that exists at all. And that's wonderful.
You have advocated for yourself very vocally.
I've learned as I've gotten older to do that.
Did that come naturally or was that something?
No.
Okay. Because, I mean, you famously, you took on
News
of the World.
Yes, that did come naturally.
Interesting. For people who don't know, you sued News of the World.
Yeah. So then the News of the World shut down 2000 and something.
I mean, in great part due to your lawsuit, which is kind of amazing.
So I don't regret that. I'm very, very proud of that. I would love to have not had to do any of it.
You have been very vocal about pay equity and earning the same or at least closer to the same as your male counterparts.
Yes.
Has that been something that you felt has been successful? Has there been progress made?
Definitely been progress made, for sure. I'm in an industry where the disparity was enormous, but I think it was more important to focus on how that translates across the world in every industry. And I think that from my perspective, people are far more cautious because of their own fear of being exposed to be incredibly misogynistic or unfair or patriarchal.
Is that a result of Me Too, do you think?
I think that definitely, I think the exposure of that kind of culture of behavior has made people scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fortunate, and I worked with Chadwick Boseman, who donated some of his salary to get me up to a number that I had asked for a film that we did together, which was astounding. And it's been a reckoning to try to realize your own value.
Are there women who've shown you how to do that successfully or been an inspiration?
Yes, yeah. Jennifer Lawrence made me hire her lawyer. And she was just like, no, you know.
What is the worst thing a tabloid has ever printed about you, or the most painful?
Oh, my God, again.
I mean, not to.
Yeah, this
make
is really
more.
Fun. Happy Sunday to you, too. They hacked my medical records. They blagged them from my doctor and printed that I was pregnant.
I know. I have to say, researching this was the first time I'd ever heard about a blagger, which I presume is a very British thing.
Yeah.
But it's just a shocking thing that exists.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that was the case. I wondered if when this new pregnancy was revealed, did it have any reminders of that earlier breaking of your medical privacy?
I think, in all honesty, they knew for months that I was pregnant.
Oh, and they were doing
it. And they were very scared to write anything.
Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting.
So that was quite empowering. I was like, there is no way they don't know, because every single friend I'd ever met had known, and I was really... you know, looking
well,
large.
There's a success.
I think they were, and actually, I remember they were emailing my publisher saying, we've heard rumors, but obviously we would never print anything that, you know, and we just wouldn't respond. And
wow.
So that did feel like a giant step, because there was no respect for that kind of sensitivity of information back then. For any woman, it was a very different time.
I have to say, I found it quite shocking after the news of your pregnancy came out that there was a lot of discussion online, which it sounds like you did not even engage with, about, wow, she's having a child at such an advanced age. And I thought, how old is Sienna Miller? I thought she was in her late 30s. And I was like, expecting they were talking about a 50-year-old.
Yes.
And then many of my friends are having kids
in their 40s. Yeah.
38 to 45. And so I just found it quite remarkable that people were reacting that way. What do you think that culturally is about?
I think that people are comfortable with a way of living that has existed for many years, which is very misogynistic and patriarchal and anything subversive, like me being the older woman in a partnership with a younger person, or being pregnant over 40 and that's irresponsible and the poor child. It's such double standards, and it's so unquestioned in people's minds. I don't think anyone's actually sat down and thought about it. I think it's just a trite, easy target. But it's absurd. I mean, I was very fortunate. I wasn't necessarily trying to get pregnant. This happened as a total surprise. And biologically, you know, was something that my body was able to do. And I just find that judgment, it's so one-sided. And it's so sad because...
Well, it's so sad,
you know,
for
there are
other
6-year-old
women.
Men, and we're like, woo, look, daddy, cute.
Was at the same moment that it came out that Robert De Niro was expecting?
And Al Pacino.
Yeah. It was like, oh, good for them.
Yeah. Ollie was like, that's the dad's club, is Al and Bob and him. There are different sets of rules, and I do think that it's got to change. It's really got to change.
How did you and Ollie meet?
We met about 7 years ago at a Halloween party.
Oh, what were you dressed as?
I think I was David Bowie.
What was he?
I have no idea.
I love a Halloween meet cute.
I know, sort of, but no, but
101 Dalmatian meets David Bowie.
Exactly. Can't remember if he was even dressed up, but we met there. And then I sort of saw him around a lot and thought he was very handsome and far too young, but knew that he had a bit of a crush. And then I made it very hard for him. But we actually ended up kissing at the same Halloween party.
Oh, well, that's nice.
7 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are the benefits of dating a younger person? Because you're right that there is such a gender taboo about it.
I wasn't like, yay, you know what I'm really looking for is someone 15 years younger. And he was like, you know what I'm in the mood for is a 40-year-old woman. You know, no one was planning this. That being said, I do find that there is something very relieving about his generation. He is the youngest millennial and I am the oldest millennial. So technically we're in the same generation, but and I'm telling everybody that who will listen. I think that the superiority that men my age and older feel towards women doesn't exist in the same way. It felt very much like a level playing field from the offset, and genuinely so. And that sounds like an easy thing to say. I just don't think there was an entitled superiority.
Wow.
And maybe that's specific to him.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I feel like you are a famously successful co-parent.
Yes.
With Marlo's father, Tom. Is there sort of Marlo's family dinners where it's you, Tom, he's now with Alexa.
Yes.
Ollie.
Yeah.
Does Marlo know that she has access to two of the great British wardrobes?
We tell her. She doesn't. She's never going to give me that. I think it's she might be starting to cotton on to the fact that I have got an aesthetic and maybe it was appreciated, but she's still like, mm-mm. No. Alexa, she is much more generous to because she's exquisitely dressed and not her actual mother. It's very genuinely very loving and cozy and great.
How wonderful for her.
It's ideal. It's incredible. We're very lucky. I'm thrilled that Tom is with her because she's a special person.
Are they
woman.
In London also? So is Marlo sort of able to
bebop? She's bouncing.
Oh,
yeah.
So nice. Yeah.
It's good. It worked out well.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's been your favorite role that you've played and why?
Ever in my whole life.
In your entire life.
Sally Bowles in Cabaret on Broadway. Because she is a nihilistic sort of tragedy that sings and dances. And my guilty pleasure is singing and dancing.
What is the most challenging role?
Sally Bowles. No, I've honestly loved most of the people that I've played. That popped into mind because it was such a fun experience. I think I did a movie called American Woman that was very emotionally draining. And I loved it and loved that character probably more than any character.
Mm.
But it was very hard to imagine the loss of a child as a parent, as anyone. I have tended to be drawn to very dark material.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that I feel like I'm quite a light person.
Why do you think that is?
I think it probably originated from, like, I need to prove myself as something serious because I was thought of as frivolous and trendy.
Yeah.
My formative youth was intense, very, very intense. And to have an outlet for some of that intensity was probably made me drawn to dark work. I now want to just tap dance and sing my way through my 40s.
Your formative youth when you were first starting to act or before that?
I think my 20s, you know, my very public 20s.
I was reading about the ages when you were first with Jude Law. I mean, you were 21. It's just...
I know.
Unbelievable. Do you ever look back now and think, oh, poor 21-year-old Sienna. I wish I could tell her this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, it feels like a different life and a different person's experience. It was all so surreal and chaotic. Sometimes it's hard to connect that that's the same person.
Yeah.
I do have sympathy, yes, for all the women of that moment.
Right.
It was this frenzy before phones and social media, before all of that came over and changed the world. It was the last, like, frenzied moment. And I think a lot of people really derailed because of it.
I loved Anatomy of a Scandal. And I then remember reading the article about how you could hear your heartbeat in the scene when the infidelity is revealed. And
yeah,
it just made me wonder about how personally and emotionally invested you get when you're doing a scene like that. Like, is that actually you acting, or is it drawing on something deep from in you?
Yeah, I think that in order to successfully achieve an emotional state, you probably have to connect it to things that happened in your life. There was something incredibly familiar about that particular scene and dynamic, and knowing that on the other side of that scene of him revealing an affair was a huge amount of tabloid attention, and it was just very easy to sense memory.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the fact that my heart started to thump.
Wow.
And then incredibly proud of myself.
Yes, you
I'm like,
be.
Yes, that's a story for the press tour.
When Marlo was a baby, did you bring her on set and were feeding her? Did you have that whole sort of...
I did. I
trailer
got,
nursing experience?
Yeah, they had a little tent set up for me on set. I did Foxcatcher when she was...
Oh, wow.
She was little. She was sort of 3 months, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember doing a scene with Steve Carell and feeling my boobs just getting bigger and bigger as he was like doing fantastic acting at my face. And I was halfway through, I was like, I'm literally about her. Yeah. So having to go and then pump. Apparently the pumps are different now. They don't go like that sound.
It's true. They're a little more
traumatic.
Discreet.
Apparently there are hands-free ones.
Yeah, but they look sort of insane. You look like a robotic
versus
person.
A cow with the other ones.
Well, that's true.
Could it be any worse? The whole world of babies has changed dramatically in the past
decade.
Well,
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Actually. It's true that there's...
It already is.
You got to get a snoo.
That's
I bet
what
you didn't
I've
have
ordered.
A snoo. Yeah.
Yes. A snoo, a self-rocking cot.
Mm-hmm. What are you loving to wear right now?
Big, baggy, knitted.
Yeah, what is
stretch.
Sienna maternity wear?
I've tried to avoid buying maternity wear.
Me too. It's very hard.
It's very hard. I've found clothes in my wardrobe that will stretch. I borrowed Ollie's jeans for the first 4 months. I have now outgrown them.
Oh, wow. Well, I was obsessed with your Vogue World Schiaparelli moment.
It was a good thing.
How would you describe it?
I would have said kind of couture meringue.
Yes, it was a couture meringue with your bump.
With my bump. It was a cropped top with sleeves. Every area that you would want disguised as a woman was disguised beautifully, artfully by this incredibly created, like, masterpiece of art.
And what was, how did that
and
look
big,
come to be?
And a big puffy skirt. Harry Lambert was styling everybody who was taking part in the show, and I was doing a little skit. And
oh, yes, you were an usher.
I was an usher, yes. And Harry Lambert, for those who don't know, is a brilliant, very avant-garde creative stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And he had sent some options of clothes that he thought would be good. And that was the most exciting / scary.
Wow.
I didn't know I was a kind of bump-out pregnant person, but it felt incredibly empowering.
Sienna, this has been such a pleasure. I'm so excited for your journey now to the Hamptons for your big shoot.
Thank you.
And goodbye to everyone from the Vogue Closet.
So that's it for The Run Through.
Bye.
The Run Through of Vogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis and Gabe Quiroga and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye.
Get balanced or thrive trying. My name is Les, and I'm the host of Balanced Black Girl, a podcast dedicated to helping you feel your best. Join me for casual conversations about what it means to live a well-rounded life. I cover everything from how to make friends as an adult, to how to create a workout routine that works for you, to how to practice better financial wellness. Tune in for approachable conversations with wellness thought leaders and inspiring guests, as well as intimate solo chats with me for relatable advice. Follow wherever you get your podcasts and look out for new episodes every Tuesday.